Today marks the end of our study series that we entitled Survivalist. Peter has told us that not only can we survive, but as Christians we can thrive, even in difficult times. But how do we thrive in a world not only where we fear sickness, but terrorism, crime, injustice? How are we to react to overwhelming burdens, to devastating events? Where is God? And why isn't he doing something about this? Well, it's interesting that early Christians possessed those same concerns. And Peter told them what to do in his second letter, what we have studied for the past few weeks. He says, stay in the word, trust the word, beware of anyone who twists the word, and hold to the hope of the Lord's return promised in his word. We do these things and we can thrive even in these difficult times. And now we come to Peter's last known recorded words. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Since the Lord is coming back, that's what we're looking forward to, when the Lord comes back and he makes all things right. Since the Lord is coming back, since there's hope in the future, since everything people in this world count as important will be lost, since we can't keep it or hold on to it, then our number one priority is to make every effort possible to live our lives for God. This is a call to allow God to work in our lives. You see, our spiritual journey is active. It is not passive. It doesn't come naturally. Effort is required. I don't know if you remember, years ago there was a infomercial that offered something called, I think, a Fat Blaster 3000. It was incredible. It was this electronic belt, and you would put it around your midsection, and electric impulses would go through it and actually work your muscles. So you just put it on, you sat back in your Lazy Boy, you watched TV and ate donuts, and the pounds would just fall off of you. And my first thought in seeing that infomercial is, what a great country we have. The only problem was, it didn't work. It takes effort. You want to build muscle? You want to lose weight? It takes effort to do that. Atrophy begins to set in when we don't use our muscles. And the same thing happens spiritually. Our souls shrivel up. We look fine on the outside, but inside we look like prunes to God. This is a very important truth here. I want you to see this. We cannot grow closer to God without intentional and purposeful effort, commitment, and hard work. Let this sink in. If you don't remember anything else we talk about today, remember this. There is no way you can grow in your relationship with the Lord unless you put in the work, unless you make the effort. Spiritual growth is like exercise. You get out of it what you put into it. I want you to know, I miss our times together. I miss meeting with you here in this building. I miss worshiping with you. And the elders and staff right now, we're working on a plan that's going to be revealed, as Brandon mentioned earlier. We'll reveal it in the next few weeks, a plan to start meeting together the first weekend of June. But I want you to understand something. Real spiritual growth takes more effort than sitting inside an air-conditioned building for an hour or attending pajama church at home watching streaming worship. It takes more than just those meeting times or streaming times. It takes time in the Word, personal time in God's Bible, in prayer, in service, in giving. Growing closer to God takes effort. But the closer you get, the problems that we have to face in the world become smaller. Do you remember this AT&T commercial? Watch this. Just okay is not okay. Peter doesn't command, hey, make every effort to be okay. No, it's deeper than that. It's more than that. He says you make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. I've learned that I cannot use my message preparation time to replace a daily quiet time with God. I have learned that I cannot use the prayers that I offer at meals and on Sunday to replace my daily prayers and daily conversation with Him. It's easier to talk about spiritual growth than it is to actually grow. And it's very tempting to stop or never start doing the things that lead us closer to God. We become stagnant and stuck in a rut and bored with ourselves and boring to others. We grow afraid to risk, to try anything new, to change. If we avoid growing closer to God, we won't experience the abundant life, and the world will always trouble us. Whenever spiritual inertia replaces spiritual energy, we settle for far less than the challenging, stretching life that God wants for us. I'm sad to say, I've seen it happen in churches. People pine after the good old days instead of enthusiastically determining how to make the coming days better. It's easier to gripe than it is to grow. It's easier to be petty than to be purposeful. Apathetic and uncommitted Christians in apathetic and uncommitted churches, they act as if their theme song is that old hymn, "We shall not be moved." We just like things the way they are. And so they become inward focused and inflexible and individualistic, and then they wonder why they are in trouble. We have to focus on what God wants us focused on. Too many churches today, they just don't feel the urgency of the Lord's return. They spend too much time and energy maintaining the status quo when it's past time to move out, to reach out into our community, to reach out to the lost, to make a difference in our community. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. These bloated believers cry, "Feed me!" when a world of lost people are starving for the good news about Jesus Christ. So ask yourself, am I making a purposeful effort to live my life for God? Am I living at peace with God? Sin will always impair our relationship with the Heavenly Father. And I just want to encourage you, protect that relationship by making every effort to grow closer to Him daily. And then Peter writes on, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Now again, Peter is giving warning here as he has done throughout his letter. He reminds us the real reason for Jesus' apparent delay in returning. Did you catch it? See, scoffers in Peter's day said the same thing that critics say today. Well, the idea that Jesus will return, that's nonsense. That's myth. So, where is he? Why hasn't he returned in 2,000 years? What's going on? And they'll say, I'll tell you what's going on. The Bible's a myth. There's no such thing as the second coming. There's no such thing as the end of times. You can't believe what you read and hear. You've heard those criticisms. And what Peter says is this is the real reason for the delay. Not that it's myth. And not that he forgot. But God loves the lost so much that he wants to give all unbelievers throughout time every opportunity to accept his son. He doesn't want any individual to miss out on heaven. And so he delays and he waits. Paul wrote, God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus himself said, In the next verse, that if I be lifted up, I draw all men to myself. And he's speaking of the crucifixion, dying on the cross for our sins, and he wants everyone to be drawn to the cross because of that. The parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15 is really the parable of the waiting father. The dad stands by the gate every day looking down the road, hoping his son will come home. That's a picture of God waiting and watching for just one more to come, ready to throw a party for any person who will accept his son, who will step forward. The 2016 movie Hacksaw Ridge told the true story of Desmond T. Doss, an Army medic who won the Congressional Medal of Honor despite refusing to bear arms during World War II on religious grounds. Doss was drafted and ostracized by fellow soldiers for his pacifist stance. But he went on to earn their respect and even their adoration for his bravery, his selflessness, and his compassion after he risked his own life to save 75 men in the Pacific Battle of Okinawa. During an enemy counterattack, the Americans were driven off a ridge. Dozens of soldiers were left behind, injured and dying and crying out for help. And Doss heard their cries, and instead of retreating, he went out looking for them, carrying the wounded back to the cliff's edge and then lowering them to safety by ropes. And each time he did this, he prayed, God, let me save just one more. Let me go and just get one more. Let me get them back here. Just one more. And he prayed that over and over again as he went out looking for those injured soldiers. The reason Jesus hasn't returned yet, even after 2,000 years, is that God wants to see just one more. One more come to his son. One more accept him as Lord and Savior of their life. His patience gives you the opportunity to talk to that unbelieving, stubborn, lovable family member. Or talk to that friend who is so close to making a decision. Or talking to that coworker who so desperately needs Jesus. Don't take his patience for granted. Because one day it will end. And Jesus will come back. And we have to be ready. By the way, the rest of verse 17, I want you to see this. It's evidence that Paul's letters to the churches at this time were already being collected and circulated among the region. Now, I tell you that and you're thinking, why is that important? I mean, if I'm ever on Jeopardy, I'll know that answer, but why is it relevant, David? It's relevant because Peter, the apostle, gives credibility to Paul's words, which will then become the bulk of the New Testament. His letters, according to Peter, are just as inspired as Old Testament scripture. So Peter vouches for Paul so that today when critics claim Paul is only offering his own biased opinions on worship and marriage and sexual sin, their argument is nullified. God's Spirit led Paul to write God's word. All right, Peter continues, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. So again, Peter is warning. As I said before, he has done this throughout this book. Satan quickly attacks those who are not on guard. Peter uses a military term here, and what he's saying is, you stand ready. You stand alert. You stand at your watch, especially during those vulnerable times of your life. And we all have weak moments. You know what yours are. I mean, maybe it's when the family goes to bed and you're the only one up and you're tempted to visit those certain adult websites. Or when someone asks you about a friend and you're tempted to gossip. Maybe it's when cheating on a test is easier than studying. Maybe it's when you justify that the government won't miss your taxes off your undeclared income. Maybe it's when you're alone with someone other than your spouse. Or when you convince yourself that your employee owes you and it's not really stealing. You know your vulnerable times. Peter says, you stand watch. You stand guard over your heart and over your mind. You get away from that temptation if at all possible. But you watch yourself. Even before you face it, he tells us, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What a way to end his letter. He says, may your confidence be in Jesus. May your confidence be in His words, in His grace. And He puts grace and knowledge together. Grace alone can often leave the truth behind. Knowledge alone can make us boastful and proud that we know so much more than anybody else. He says you grow in both. They balance each other out. Until Jesus comes, or until you are called home, continue to grow in God's grace and in the knowledge of God's word. Put in the effort. Make it count. When you do, transformation will take place in your life. It's one of our key missions here, is to for every Christian to so grow in the word that they change. Their priorities change. Their attitudes change. Their thought process changes. Transformation. In John 13, knowing the cross was close, Jesus informs his apostles that he will not be with them much longer. And of course, it's always Peter who usually has to ask the question. And he says, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. In other words, you can't, I don't need for you to go now. You must not go now. I've got plans for you. You are not going to die right now. And of course, Peter just won't let this go. He says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? Well, what's the problem? Why can't I do this? He didn't understand. And a few verses later, Jesus explains, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my father's house has many rooms. And if that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I think it's very interesting that in this section of scripture, which are, these words are for us. Don't be mistaken. They aren't just for the apostles or just for the early church. These words are for us. Jesus says, trust me. Don't be troubled by what's going on in the world. Don't be troubled by these dreadful events that are happening around you. Don't be troubled by these sicknesses that take so many lives. These events will challenge our faith. They will stretch our faith, but they're not to overwhelm us. And they are not to divide us. The return of Jesus Christ is not a riddle to be solved or a code to be broken. It is a day to be anticipated. But why does Jesus make the point about the size of his father's house? I mean, he indicates, listen, there's so much room here. It has many, many rooms. Why does he do that? Is it because that he knows how many times down here on earth that we are told there is no room for us? That we are rejected? That people push us away? We all know what that's like at some time or another in our lives. When we're called into the boss's office. And he says, listen, we're going to downsize our business. And there just isn't any room for you. I'm sorry. Or it's when the coach pulls us aside and He says, listen, you tried hard. I appreciate that. You've done well, but I only have so many roster spots. And there's no room for you on that roster. Or it's when someone we love looks us in the eyes and says, you know, I care about you, but I just don't love you. I'm sorry, but there's no room in my heart for you. And we know that rejection. And we know how difficult it is. And I think through this scripture, Jesus is saying, I know what that's like. What you know, I know. What you feel, I feel. Even before he was born, there was no room for him in the inn. And today, when tolerance seems to be the number one character trait that is favored above all the rest, Jesus is often told, there is no room for you in our culture. He knows what you know and he feels what you feel. And he wants you to know that there is plenty of room in the Father's house for you. Not only that, he has prepared a special room just for you. He cares about his children. He cares about you. And when you stand before the gates of heaven, they will be open. Because he is your Lord. And he is your Savior. So trust him. Trust him in difficult times. Trust him in a world that is turned upside down. You don't have to let anxiety fill your heart. You don't have to be afraid. He's got this. And he's got you. I love you guys. And even though we're separated, we care about you and your relationship with the Lord. Please contact us through our website. If you are going through difficult times and need physical or financial help, if you are struggling emotionally with being quarantined, if you just are scared or just have questions, let us know. And if you want answers about the next step in your relationship with the Lord and how you can grow spiritually, let us know too. Because the baptism is always ready for you. Let me pray for you. Father, bless us as we seek to grow closer to you. May our trust and our faith be strong. May we be on the lookout in our own life circle for just one more person who needs you. Thank you for Jesus, for his life, his death, his resurrection, and the fact that he is coming back. In his name we pray. Amen. Love you guys.